Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Hey, welcome back. Here we are. We have a name now.
Yeah, we're called Fillory and Father.
That's right. I'm the father.
And I'm the Fillory.
Yes. What's your name?
I'm Evelyn Rogers.
And I'm Evelyn's dad, Scott Rogers. And we are watching episodes of The Magician.
There's an S there.
Magicians. And it's episode 2.
Called The Source of Magic.
Yes. That's going to be your job from now on.
Yeah.
You're going to be the title
mistress.
I'm
writing them down.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad somebody is.
Yeah. So we'll just go in right ahead. First, I'll say thank you, Mom.
Oh, yes.
Because she told us off for not crediting her for, you know, she's the one who got us both technically into The Magicians. Mom read the books when they first came out, and she watched the show before any of us.
Evelyn's mom is always cooler than us, and
yeah.
She always finds things before everybody else, and then everybody gets all fandomed up about it, and then doesn't appear on the podcast. So
yes.
we'll have Mom show up on a
podcast.
Eventually. Maybe the 10th episode
or
the last episode of every season.
Maybe. Just Mom?
Well, Mom will be our special guest. I don't know. We'll work it out. We'll see. She can be a little microphone shy sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's something to look forward to. Evelyn's mom, my wife, Brenda, appearing on our show. All right, so let's talk about this episode.
So we open with Sunderland, and she's interviewing Quentin and asking him, how did the beast get in? How did he know your name? And Quentin's kind of in, like, this kind of shell shock situation, because obviously he just watched this professor, you know, get his eyes ripped out.
Yes, there was a lot of speedy cutting from stuff from last episode and some stuff we didn't see. And,
oh, that's later.
And Quentin getting his face pinched and he's getting, like, pinchy marks on his face.
Yep. And then we cut to Julia with Pete, and she's at the Hedge safe house, and we get to meet Marina, who
right.
I love Casey. She's wonderful. She's a great actress. She's in Hannibal. She's great there, too. And
well, wait a second now. Now, why does Julia even trust this guy?
Well,
like, they didn't have the best introduction.
She shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he first tried to rape her or kind of sort of rape. Yeah,
her.
And then the next thing you know, he's telling her, hey, why don't you go in this meat locker? And that's like, I would have been you first, dude. And then I would have closed the door and locked it behind him and said, good riddance.
Well, Julia and Marina both go inside the meat locker locked in.
Maybe it's because Marina went in that Julia felt it was safe.
Yeah. But they both go in, and then we get another shot. We're back at Break Bills, and this is where we get the kind of, like, trauma flashback thing where we get to see, like, how Katie is good at battle magic and how Penny smashes the mirror and Alice is the one who, like, kind of chokes out the beast and sends him back. And Dean Fogg makes Quentin, he, like, summons the Time Watch, and Quentin is the one who reverses time so everyone can get out of that situation.
Yeah, but why? That's something Dean Fogg could have just done. I mean, even
his fingers were broken.
Oh, see, now, they did not make that clear. His fingers were broken. I just thought he was, like, his eyes were out. And so I'm like, you don't need your eyes to activate a watch.
Well, he needs his fingers.
Right, he doesn't. Well, he just need a thumb. He just need one finger.
Used his wrist to push his thumb down.
He could have turned it upside down and just pushed it on the floor.
Yeah, but then it dissolves, and so now
you're
like,
turns to sand.
The MacGuffin's gone.
Right. Yeah, that was lame. you'd think that magic items would stick around a little longer. All right, but let's talk about the most important thing of this whole scene.
Can we
talk about how fabulous the silver jacket that guy was wearing is?
Yes,
in that
the guy who was yawning, he gets frozen and he's like stuck in this yawn position.
Yes.
But he's wearing this wonderful, like, luminous kind of,
holographic
chrome
jacket. It's like the jacket your brother has.
Shout out to the costumers.
Yeah,
like,
that was a fantastic jacket.
We're not even in Fillory territory yet with all the really good costumes by Mowgli and stuff, but like, even then, it's like, some good shit, you know?
All right. And then the other thing that I thought was cool was Alice when she was doing her magic and the Beast was losing moths.
Yes,
they were dropping out of his face. And that was pretty cool. That was a good metaphor for, like, all right, she's, like, actually harming him.
Yeah, because Alice is, like, super good at magic.
Yes.
So then they, like, leave the classroom and stuff, and we get Margot and Elle coming.
Wait a second. We forgot one thing, right?
What?
Is that they're all still going to have to take a quiz.
Yeah.
Worst school ever.
Terrible.
Still, so far, compared to Hogwarts and any other magic school, Breakville's still the worst one.
It's college. That's why.
It's the worst college. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, Hogwarts is kind of a college, right?
No, Hogwarts is like
grade school?
Middle school to high school.
All right. All right. Do they have magic college in Harry Potter Land?
I don't know.
Maybe they'll make a whole new theme park off of magic college.
But they leave the classroom and get Elle and Margot, and then we get both of these two wonderful human beings having separate conversations with Alice and Quentin. So we get a conversation of with Alice and Margot, and Margot confesses that she wants to be Alice's friend, and Alice tells Margot about how she got into Breakbills, which is she stole an alumni key, and she never even took the test.
That's pretty good. Now, my question is this. You know all about this show. And
some.
Most of it. Oh, you're the expert in the household. What is what's the significance of the term physical kids?
It's because they do physical magic. So there's, like, illusion work, which is, you know, illusions, and then there's, like, natural magic, which is, like, natural magic, like botany and weed and stuff. And physical kid is like you can do physical magic. Like Quentin can displace cards and stuff, and you know, Elliot can do like telekinesis, which is moving things with his mind.
Right, but that's not physical.
That it's technically physical. No. You're moving things and doing physical things.
All right,
that's what it is.
Makes me think of physical education. Like this is they're in the PE house.
No, in the books, the kind of like discipline that you have is aligned to like when you're born and stuff, so it's kind of like your star sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there 12 different houses?
They're not houses. It's just like what you're a little bit good, like better at.
Well,
than
what are the
else.
Other ones?
Well,
that
there's
are in
there's
the book.
There's a not in it, well there's knowledge, which is I think also it's in the show. There's knowledge students, there's illusionists, there's naturalists, and probably a host of, like, you know, travelers don't exist in the books. Like,
okay.
They're not a thing, which is what Penny is. We'll find that out later. And, you know, there's psychics and stuff, but, you know, it's all just different types of, like, fun, cool magic stuff. All
right.
But, so, yeah, Alice and Margot have this nice, like, bonding moment, and also, like, right before that, Margot's like, here, let's go, like, try on some clothes, because your tits look great, and I'm like, thank you for my sapphic crumbs. I appreciate it.
All right. Keep it in your pants.
Oh, geez.
All right. So,
we get to this.
Hang on. We had a
conversation between Elliot and Quentin.
Yeah, it was lovely. However, there was a moment that we had when we were watching the DVD. And I just want to say that
we turned off the subtitles.
Yes, we turned off the subtitles because whoever did the subtitles for this, shame on you. They are the worst subtitles ever because they're not subtitled. Subtitled is, that's why they're called that, because they're underneath the picture.
Right across the face.
This is like right across the face of the people on the show. What the heck? Who made this decision?
I don't know.
It was bad.
Not us.
It was a bad decision, and you should not, if for those of you out there that are in the subtitle profession,
community,
do not put the words over the people's face. That's just a bad call. All right, so.
We get this wonderful conversation between Quentin and Elliot. So Quentin is obviously, understandably, very stressed about getting kicked out because, you know, he helped summon the Beast. And so he's, getting really neurotic and stressed about it. And he starts talking a mile a minute about how he can't go back to just living this normal life where he doesn't know magic exists. And also because he's been so depressed all this time, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And so Elliot, in order to make him feel better, decides to share this, like, really intimate and, like, personal thing that he, like, committed murder when he was 14. And so he gives this really good monologue about, how he went through this horrible experience, and that's how he discovered magic. And Quentin's like, oh, how is this supposed to make me feel better? And Elliot says, no, I'm just saying that you're not alone here. But then Elliot also says, but hey, like, magic comes from pain. And right. Meaning that, like, this is the root of his trauma is
right.
What, like, instigated everything.
I think it's essentially the thesis of the whole show, right? Because there's a lot of moments in it that are painful and Eventually, the characters, spoilers, of course, are going to go through a lot of horrible things. But already, they've already gone through a lot of horrible things, right? They've already been attacked, and they've been mauled, and they've been, you know, beaten and bruised, and it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. And then we get more bonding moments and stuff like that. I'm skipping them on next.
Well, here I have a note. I have a note where next is where you meet the important character in the plot that we never see again, which is Zombie Pete.
Yeah, we go back to Marina and Julia, and they are stuck inside the meat locker, and they're like looking for stuff, and they're like, "Oh shit, how are we gonna get out of here? We're gonna get hypothermia and freeze to death. Why would you trust any of these people?" And Julia's talking about how, you know, she wanted to go to break bills, and she flunked the test, and it doesn't make sense that it's either you do it or you don't, and it doesn't make sense. And so then dead body comes to life.
Right, then they find a dead body, and it chases them, and it's a zombie. And then,
not a zombie. He like talks through the dead
body.
Well,
once it's not
sentient.
No,
he's just talking through it. It's still dead.
Oh, is that Pete the other guy?
It's Pete Magic Man. He does a magic touch.
See, I thought it was just
no
zombie.
No.
The zombie's name was Pete.
No, Pete is the name. I told you this last time.
This doesn't make any sense.
Pete is the name of the guy that essentially sexually assaulted Julia.
Right. Oh,
that's
okay.
Him.
I thought there was just another guy named Pete.
No, he's talking through.
I know lots
body.
Of people named Pete. And Peter.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought he was another Pete. I thought it was just like, oh, hi, Pete.
No.
It's like this dead hedge witch that like ended up in the freezer somewhere.
No, so he
oh, man, like... now I'm told. Now I have no clue what's going on.
No, so then he's like, yeah, did you look everywhere, though? And Julia's like, wait a second. Let's go back to the body bag.
Right. And then they find a recipe.
Yeah, they find a spell. And then
so is that the difference between Quentin magicians and Julia magicians? Is hedge witches need to follow, they're like cooks, and and magicians are just, they just do it?
No, the difference between hedges and like classically trained magicians is that like the classically trained ones at Breakbills get access to the information, and the hedges have to like go through the internet and search and find the stuff because they don't let the information out.
Right, and you know why? Because Breakbills is the Yale of magic.
Secret
and they're
Yale.
Elitist bastards that are withholding all the information.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Breakbills.
Yes.
And Quentin is talking to Alice, and he's saying, well, hey, maybe Fillory is real because this beast guy came to me after I had a dream about Jane, who was in Fillory. And Alice is like, bruh, do you really think that, like, a children's book is real? And he's like, well, magic's real, so what do you want from me?
Yeah, everybody's bad-mouthing the Fillory book. Like, granted, the Narnia books are, like, well-loved in our reality, but I don't know. Are they, like, they're not, like, the number one, right? Like, you could argue that Narnia books, in the grand scheme of fantasy books, oh, you should see the look I'm getting. Like, Lord of the Rings is probably the top one, right? And then after that, maybe Narnia, or maybe Wizard of Oz, or
Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, definitely Harry Potter, right?
But J.K.
Oh yeah, that.
Sucks.
Oh yeah, that book.
Ugh.
Those books. Anyway, the point is that like in this universe, everybody seems to like hate Quentin for liking the Fillory books.
But it's obviously a popular series because he owns like multiple reprints and like posters and stuff.
And people
later
know
on,
who
there's
it is.
Merch and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, people know what Fillory is, right? But it's not like. I don't know. Did they make a movie? Like,
they
did
tried
Disney made a Fillory movie?
No, but
this universe?
In the universe, they did try to make a movie
when
in
did
the
that
80s.
Get mentioned?
It's in season 2.
Oh, okay. Is there like a bad British version?
No, it was a bad American version where they're all skateboarding teenagers.
Oh, that's even better. That's like Hook, and I hate that movie. Rufio, the worst.
So Alice and Quentin go to this like kind of nook on campus where they can get access to internet, and we see my favorite character, Deb Fleischman.
Yes.
Who is
Deb Fleischman?
Is Lev Grossman, the author of The Magicians, playing a fictional documentarian talking about the fake book series that he came up with, and it's very great.
So
and
do you know if Lev Grossman got his SAG card because of that?
Maybe.
Yeah, because he had a lot of lines, right?
Yeah, like a whole.
Yeah. Good for you, Lev.
Whole short paragraph.
Good job.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you're listening.
And then we cut back to Sunderland, and she sees that like. There's a little note on her board saying that, like, something's been buried in the woods. So then we cut again, and Penny has decided to leave because he's talking to Katie, and he says, like, hey, I have had this voice in my head for the past, like, several years of my life, telling me to do things, and it's always been good things, and he's always been true. Like, all this magic stuff has always turned out correct and true, but this one time that he told me to go help them, the beast came in, so obviously I've been duped this whole time, which raises the question, like, why was the beast doing this before the timeline started? That's my thing.
First of all, I don't know about the timeline.
Well, because they start repeating, and it's when Quentin goes to break Bills is when it repeats.
Okay.
But, like, how was the beast talking to Penny before that then, if he didn't know he existed?
Isn't Penny a psychic?
He is, but it's still like, why would the beast talk to Penny?
Maybe the Penny is like the beast's protege.
He's not, though.
Well, he's not, but, like, maybe it's subconscious.
In another universe.
Well, see, all right. Now, this is already, you've lost me with another universe. Let's just concentrate on this universe for a moment, okay? So hang on a second, though. There's another thing that there was a part where there was a map and it had, like, a little glowy thing on it.
Yeah, that's where she gets, I said that.
Who
Sunderland.
Gets it?
She gets
So wait, who's Sunderland?
She's a professor.
Okay.
And so
but
she
is that
gets
different than the one who's now in charge of
It's
Breakbell?
The same one. You do not pay attention to what these women look like?
Well, they're very similar.
Oh my god.
They're all brunettes and...
No, she's not... Okay.
But I wanted to know, like, who was on the glowy... Who was the little glowy dot?
It was the book. Okay.
Oh, that's the book. I thought it was somebody. I thought they were tracking somebody.
No, it's the book because, you know...
It's not clear.
Alice goes to, like, hide the evidence, and we get this other scene of Katie saying, hey, you want to do something stupid with me? And so Penny and Katie go and steal the Emerson's alloy, I think it's called, from the physical kid's cottage. And then...
But why was that just... If that's such an important artifact, why was that just, like, hanging out in her drug stash drawer?
I don't know. It's... Physical kid's cottage just got a lot of cool stuff in it.
Stoners. This is, once again, second episode. It's already reaffirming my belief that magicians are stoners.
We'll meet a stoner eventually.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
You know, so then Sunderland comes to all four of them because, you know... Luckily, they're all in the same place, and she's like, guys, I need to talk to you because you're all in trouble. And so then we get, like, this kind of smash cut of them being interviewed, and they're all, you know, giving conflicting information, which is a trope I love.
Yeah, I have to confess, this is the part where I started to drift off a little bit. It was very hot. It's very hot here.
We don't have AC in
our house. No, I don't have air conditioning. So if we ever get a Patreon, we can pay for air conditioning. Actually, speaking of which, this is a perfect time to take a commercial break.
No.
Yeah, we have to get used to taking a commercial break. Yes, if we ever get sponsors, like if you like, who is a sponsor, a famous sponsor for a podcast? We already said last week stamps.com or mattress. Casper Mattresses or...
Not stamps.com, but the USPS.
Yeah, there we go. Support the United States Postal Office. There we go. Sure. They're in trouble and they need your help and they're good.
Sure.
They allow you to send letters. Yeah, and vote. Make
Do
sure you vote.
Things.
Is there like a vote.org or something?
Actually, yeah.
All right, there you go.
There you go. That's sad.
We have official non-official sponsors, but we like them anyway. So yes, this is where normally if we had a commercial,
we're done with this.
No, we could do commercial.
No.
No. All right. Anyway, no.
So Sunderland is interviewing people, and I noticed all in the background of her office, the only thing on her wall are pictures of cats and knickknacks of cats, which I thought was really funny.
Are we supposed to think she's like, who's the evil pink lady in Harry
Dolores
Potter?
Dolores Umbridge?
Yeah, didn't she have all cats on her?
No, she's not evil.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know who's evil. Everybody here so far has been duplicitous.
Morally gray.
Yeah, they're duplicitous.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pete, is he a bad guy? No, he's a good guy. No, he's a bad guy. No, he's a good guy.
He's just an
asshole.
No,
he's a bad guy. Right. And what about, Katie, we learn, right? Is she a bad guy or a good guy or a bad guy?
We haven't gotten to that scene yet.
Right,
so,
that's true.
Well, so then Penny sells Quentin out.
Yes. Penny, he's an ass.
Yeah, kind of dick move, man.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
But I love Penny, so I forgive him.
As of episode two, I don't like Penny.
Well, that's your prerogative.
No, they set him up to be a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's just he's self-protective.
Well, he's still a bad guy. He's still selfish.
Well, that's several characters.
That's true.
So then Q, you know, gets mad, and he shoots some battle magic at Penny, and it ricochets back off because Penny stole the Emerson amulet or alloy or whatever from Katie, and so it hits Quentin again, And Quentin goes flying through the air, and every time I watch the scene, all I can think of, he flies past this, like,
statue.
The statue that's, like, modern art. It looks like Touchdown.
Yep, that's like, exactly what I wrote, too. I wrote Touchdown.
That looks like...
Yes, poor Quentin poor is Quentin. Punted for yeah. extra points.
And then he, like, you know, Sunderland breaks up the fight, and this actually happens in the book. Penny and Quentin fight, but it's for a different reason. And I love when Penny and Quentin fight in the books. Because reasons that I will not explain now. Well, because we're going to eventually read the first book.
Are we?
Yeah. We made this decision.
When did we decide this?
2 days ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. But maybe, then, maybe after we get done with the first season.
Well, then we cut back and Julia and Marina get out of the meat locker. And she's like, bro, what the fuck? Like, it took me forever to unscrew this doorway with these scissors.
Yeah, you would have thought Marina would have helped.
No, but the point is, because Marina, as we find out, is top bitch in New York. She's got 50 fucking,
tattoos. She's level 50.
She's level 50.
She's got all those achievements up her arm.
She's so good at magic. She's just amazing.
Right. She's got all those Xbox Live achievements tattooed on her arm for learning spells.
And she's like, why would you ever trust anyone? And just think, you can be me when you're level 50.
Ugh, I don't know if you'd want to be her when you're level 50.
And then we get a scene of Quentin in the infirmary getting his, like, arm fixed. And poor dude, it's just, that's an ouchie right there.
Yes, but Penny is still an ass.
But it's great because it's funny.
Well, is it? Poor Quentin.
Yeah, and then we get to see that the inside kind of information that Marina has, because she knows about Breakbills, is that Katie is kind of her, like, mole who's going to Breakbills and stealing stuff right. for her and stealing spells.
Yes.
So we get the scene of them in, like, a car at night, and she's, like, outside campus, and Katie's like, well, the dude I was hanging out with stole the amulet, but I can get you more shit. And
Katie is one of the first characters that comes off as, like, a magic junkie. Like, the way that her character reacts to the other characters is a lot like how, you know, people that are, unfortunately, you know, abusing drugs and then they get it taken advantage of by people. And so, I mean, this is once again, it's this metaphor, right? That magic is like drugs, and the way that a lot of the people operate are like drug dealers. And it's very interesting. It's kind of a way to get, like, kind of crime drama into your fantasy story, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And then we get to a scene of Quentin stealing the Emerson's alloy
amulet. That's a bad choice. Well, I was disappointed in Quentin.
Well, actually, oh my god, did I skip my favorite bit?
Well, you skipped where Quentin called...
I skipped my favorite bit! Okay.
Julia.
So he calls Julia because he's upset that he's going to get kicked out.
Right.
And that's the kind of cross shot of her figuring out how to, you know, do the spell, and they, like, rub all that gross human meat on their face.
Is that meat?
It's human fat.
No, I thought it was...
Because she cuts open the dead body, because they're like, there's no animals in here, and then she's like, wait a second.
Oh, is that was? I thought there was something...
She stabbed zombie Pete.
I thought it was an ingredient.
It was.
Well, I thought it was like there was some sort of ingredient sewn into him.
Nah, it was
See,
just
again,
it
not
was,
clear that if they would have said, I gotta get some fat. But if you're gonna get fat from somebody, you don't get it out of their chest. You go for
a
thigh,
I think that's
or a butt,
just,
or
that's
something like that. Guts,
it's
is
much
stomach.
More visually like a, you know, stabbing right into the sternum.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Oh, that, there's no fat in your sternum.
I don't, well, obviously.
You don't have
not.
A, you don't have a fat sternum.
Well,
all right. Anyway.
But I forgot my favorite scene, which is Quentin is, like, for sure, after he gets ratted out by Penny, he for sure thinks he's going to be expelled. So he's, like, walking back to return his books, and Elliot comes up to him, and he's like, oh no, what's happening? And Quentin's like, I can't go back to black and white after seeing color and all this stuff.
Yep,
and
kind of asleep during this part, too.
Oh my god. And Elliot, he's like, well, listen, don't go back to being the old you. How about I find you, and I don't tell you magic is real, but I do seduce you, and then make your life just, like, sparkle for the next decade. And Quentin's like, that sounds nice.
it because it's the start of the Quelliot.
It is their love.
It's their love, the first of their love.
They flirt from the very beginning,
that's
man.
True.
It's great. But yeah, so.
But poor Quentin, he can't catch a break. He feels sorry for himself. He calls Joy and says, I could really use some help if you could help me.
Tell me how to remember.
And then he leaves this long message, and then he deletes it. Bad move, Quentin.
It's very sad.
Quentin, so this is the other thing, right? Quentin, if it's like a sitcom, right? Like a miscommunication. If they only would just like ask each other for help, like 50% of the problems would be avoided.
Much shorter TV show.
Yeah, what? It'd be like five episodes.
Five episodes, no other seasons.
And this podcast would only last five episodes, and then I would be saved.
Free
of this obligation this that
torture?
I have. Well, it's not torture, but I'm enjoying this. But yes.
You get your naps in while we watch the episode.
Well, I try not to nap too much.
Uh-huh.
It gets very quiet in that show.
Yeah, that's just because our TV is quiet.
All right. Well, probably. Maybe if somebody wants to send the Patreon for buy a new TV.
No.
All right. Anyway.
So then Quentin goes to the specialist because the normal mind wipe guy is dead, which I think is either that professor that got
murdered
by the
beast.
Yeah, I think so. And so.
That's the one who wiped Julia.
Yeah. So he also, I didn't point this out last time, but when the specialist goes to wipe Julia, he uses like hand sanitizer. And I was like, yeah, keep yourself safe, dude.
That's only a joke 2020 audience would understand.
So he goes to meet the specialist, and turns out that the specialist is the EMT that he met, who essentially led him to break bills. And as I have already said, it is Jane, but she introduces herself as Eliza.
Right, which
is her middle name.
Right, which confused me because she's like, oh, I'm Eliza. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought the EMT was Jane. And then you and your mom go, it's Eliza. It's her middle name.
That
was not clear. And there's
you're not supposed to know it's Jane yet. You've already seen the show.
There's nothing in the thing that says Eliza Jane or Jane Eliza or whatever.
You're not supposed to know that it's Jane yet. We just already know this information
because
we've seen the show.
But they did say it was Jane because then you have a dream and saw Jane.
Yeah, but Jane is younger in that dream.
I told you,
it didn't
look like this. They did such a good job casting. It looked like the same person. So it ruined it. So, all right, casting directors, if you ever want somebody to not know, do a crappy job casting. So that way, when you show the old and the young person, the people don't realize.
You know, you bring up casting, and I will say this is actually interesting. They do recast, actually, both Rupert and Martin from the pilot.
What?
Only Jane. Jane is the only of the three Chatwins who remains the same actress, the young one, which is really interesting. Martin is the same for the first two episodes, and then he's a completely different actor.
What was Martin in this episode?
He's in the documentary part.
Oh, okay.
Just a little shot. And also they have this like fun part where it's like a PBS style recreation of the events. And so it's like this guy who's playing Christopher Plover and he's like all sad. It's kind of
Yes, that was
funny.
Very funny. That was actually really well done.
Yeah.
All right. So then
Eliza, Jane, she's like, Quentin, dude. You're not doing what I said. You gotta stay off the garden path. You can't actually learn at the school. Learn magic, but like quickly.
But she also says
speed run the education.
She's also like, you're not very remarkable.
I know. It's so
you're
sad.
Not special.
You're not a hero, dude. Yeah. There's no heroes. Destiny is just like stupid. And like, I don't know why the beast chose you, which is a fucking lie because. If Quentin's lived 40 timelines of this...
But we don't know there's 40 timelines.
I'm just saying that, if that's why the Beast knows him, and she could have just said that from the beginning, would have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, once again, it's that sitcom problem, right?
Yeah.
If people just communicate. So there you go. There's a lesson for you, audience, out there. In your life, if you don't want your life to become overly complicated and full of drama, just communicate with other people.
And Mothman.
And Mothman, yes. Especially Mothman.
But Eliza and or Jane, she says, I won't wipe your memory. I'll give you like one chance. And Quentin also brought the Emerson amulet. So she's like, good job, dude. You did one smart thing. And she's like, I won't wipe your mind. It's whatever. You'll be on like probation or whatever. And you can just like, you can go back to classes, but you gotta like focus. You gotta focus and you gotta learn. And so then we...
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, stay in school.
Eat your broccoli.
Eat your broccoli.
Study hard.
Study magic.
Right. All right. Well, that's good. And so Quentin gets another chance. Yeah. And then where does he go?
Well, then we cut to Marina and Julia. And Julia is getting her very first, like, star tattoo.
Right.
She's achieved level one.
Right. So this is something that, also, if you're going to create a TV show or book series or something, remember last week we said that, did we talk about food in A Magician yet?
No, well.
That how there wasn't any signature food?
Oh, no.
We had talked about that?
No.
Maybe we had this conversation outside of the podcast.
Maybe.
So, like, if you're going to make a fantasy world, you got to make sure there's a signature food. So that way when they make your theme park version of
it, you have
something to eat. But also give your characters signature tattoos. So that way the fans have something. So how many fans do you know that have Hedge Witch tattoos?
I don't know. I'd have to ask.
All right. So fans, if you have a Hedge Witch tattoo, go ahead and share it with us on Twitter.
At Dad, not me.
Not at me? At my Mighty Bedbug?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see your tattoos, your Hedge Witch tattoos.
Uh-huh.
All right.
But then we get to this scene, and it's Jane, Eliza, and she's going to the health, the hospital on campus or whatever, and right. She goes to see Dean Fogg, and he has, like...
Yeah, he's a mess.
He's got, like, pads on his eyes, and he's got hands in
boxes. That's the first time I realized that something was wrong with his hands.
Because they were in boxes.
Yeah, they didn't say anything. They didn't say his hands were broken. They just...
You can hear his fingers snap.
I did not hear any crunching.
But she goes and she talks to him, and he's like, how are we gonna, what the fuck are we gonna do? Like, I can't teach them when I can't have use of my hands. And
how about a book? Teach using a book. How about a PowerPoint?
You know, I said this while we were watching it. I think Alice should have just returned the book they had used. Cause then, like, instead of hiding it, which is shifty, just like put it back in the library.
Yeah, exactly. Problem solved. Show over.
Yeah. You know, just. So easy.
Yes, could have been solved so easily.
Yeah, but Jane and Dean Fogg are talking, and he's like, we got to get him ready, and how are we going to do this now? And she's like, damn, you know, he's like, you got to fix this, you got to go back. And she's like, I can't now. And he's like, you know, if I could, I would already be fixing this, and we'd have, like, four good eyes between us. And she's like, oh sorry. That was kind of...
Very insensitive.
Yeah. But, you know, we get to see this kind of like, oh, there's like a bigger conspiracy here with some overarching.
Everybody's got a conspiracy.
Everyone's got a secret.
Hedge witches have a conspiracy. The school's a conspiracy.
How many?
Two so far. We're at conspiracy count. All right.
And then we get this kind of final scene of Quentin, and he's coming back from like, the like school office or whatever, and it's apparently rained because his hair is wet, and
he's just sweaty.
He's really sweaty.
He was very nervous.
And he's coming back, and Elliot and Margo are like doing some barbecue, having a fun time. Elliot looks great. Margo looks great. He's wearing little board shorts, plaid board shorts.
Does Elliot and Margo ever go to classes? Do we ever see them in a class?
That's a good question. The answer is maybe no.
Maybe no. They just ditch.
You know, they're second years. They can do whatever.
Second years? Sophomore year is an important year.
It's a 3-year program.
You should know you're in your sophomore year.
Yeah.
And it's an important year, right? You're taking lots of classes.
Yeah.
Would you ditch any of your classes?
I am maybe going to ditch on Monday.
No, don't ditch classes. Paying for them.
But I also paid to talk to Mr. Appleman. So. No,
well, just for a little bit, you're going
to
ditch.
Yeah,
but you'll go to
bit.
The rest.
And then I'll
you'll
go
join
to the
late.
Rest.
Did you let your teacher know?
No.
You should let your teacher know.
I'm
just
going to say my Wi-Fi has gone out.
No, don't lie. Just say
no,
just say I have a brief
This is
Zoom
off topic.
Meeting.
This is off topic.
All right.
But we get to see this final scene of Quentin, and he's basically being welcomed to the physical.
Yes,
kids
very
cottage
nice.
By his friends, and Margo
Quentin
and Elliot are
friends.
Like, Quentin! And he smiles, so big and happy, and he's so happy to be, like, accepted and to stay at Magic School. And then we get the credits, and, you know, it's just, I love two great scenes in this is the conversation between Quentin and Elliot, and then the other one between them, because it's just very good.
I just love Quentin and Elliot.
I love their scenes because they're both, Jason Ralph and Hale Upperman are both extremely good actors.
Yes,
and
they are.
It's just always wonderful to see them perform together. And, you know, Olivia Taylor-Dudley and Summer Bishop are both also amazing actors, and it's just so great to see character interactions between everyone. It's all so good.
All right, and my favorite scene here. How about we do this? We have a new segment.
New segment.
Our favorite scene.
Because we talk so fast.
Well, that's okay. So my favorite segment is Zombie Pete.
It's not actually a zombie.
He's a zombie. He's a zombie. He comes to life. He talks to him. I like that because it actually reminded me of a movie which I don't think you've seen yet, which is called Return of the Living Dead. Have you ever seen that movie?
With Ash?
No, that's Evil Dead.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll have to watch this movie. But there's a really good zombie movie, and that's what it reminded me of a little bit. All right, so overall, what's your rating of this episode?
I will give it 5 out of 5 moths.
5 moths for the second week in a row?
Yeah. This has some of my favorite character interactions in it, and it's still, the pacing is still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I also enjoy all of the, like, music cues in this one. It's got good music in this episode.
Music is good, yeah.
And also we get to learn more about Penny and Katie, and I love Penny. So I like the Penny scenes.
Okay.
They're very good.
All right. Well, I do like the Penny scenes, but I'm going to give it can we do halves or can we do...
Can you cut a moth in half?
I guess.
Then the answer is yes.
All right. So I will give it 4.5 moths right now because it was good, but I think that it got there were a couple moments a little slow
because you fell asleep.
Yes, I did. And so 4.5, if I fall asleep, it drops a half a moth.
Then we're gonna lose a lot of moths.
Yes, we are gonna lose a lot of moths. All right, so my other question is, how does this part compare to it in the book?
Well, Penny, as I said before, Penny and Quentin do fight in the books, and it's a great scene. Also because Penny, it's kind of interesting. The character aspects from the book are kind of transplanted over to different characters in the show. Penny is definitely standoffish in the books, but he also has this kind of enthusiasm for fantasy and magic that kind of gets transferred over to Quentin in the show.
Oh, okay.
And Quentin, the very beginning, he's very neurotic, very much an asshole. So, you know, when he gets punched, you're like, oh, I can see him deserving that, even though it's undeserved because they had to take a test to transfer up a grade because there's 4 years at Break Bills in the books, and they get fast tracked to year 2.
Oh.
Alice, Penny, and Quentin, and Alice and Quentin pass, and Penny does not, and he gets extremely pissed about it, and so he goes and he beats up Quentin, but like, since it's Quentin's point of view, there you're like, what's happening? Why is he, you know, punch, punch, punch. Yeah. But, you know, I it's not much of an actual fight in the show, which makes me sad because I enjoy a good fight. Speaking of fights, the very beginning when they're fighting the beast and stuff, Katie gets like slammed against the desk, and I know exactly how she did that because I did the same thing for one of the shows I was in, where you have to like, you smack your hands against the desk while you fake your head hitting it, and then you fall to the ground, and I was like, I know exactly how she does that.
Katie does her own stunts.
I know.
Good.
Yeah,
good for you, actress.
Good
Katie.
Job, Jade Taylor.
There you go, Jade Taylor. All right, so anything else, anything we want to mention? Or are we done with episode 2?
Well, what did you think?
I gave it 4.5 moths.
4.5 moths.
I thought it's fine. I didn't think the cliffhanger was as good, right?
It wasn't really a cliffhanger.
No, I know. It was more happy.
Yeah.
Yay, he's been accepted. I mean, you could just stop watching right now, right?
Yeah. Show's over, guys.
Show's over. He's found friends, and
he's
that's
found
it.
Friends. He's fine, but what about Julia?
All right. I guess we'll keep watching then. Okay. Well, if anybody wants to find us, well, first of all, if you found us, thank you. We are on
Thank you for listening. We are now on Spotify. And hopefully we will be on iTunes and like Amazon Music and Google Music.
And if people want to find you, Evelyn, online, where would they find you?
You find me on Twitter at @wow_then and on Instagram at @fishydwaros, which is a Tolkien reference. I didn't mention that last time, but it's important.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both at @mightybedbug. So you got to have synergy with your naming.
Sorry, I made these usernames separately at different points
in
my life.
I think you were like 12 years old when you made them.
You know?
Violating. All right.
I already got kicked off Twitter once.
All right. Well, let's not get you kicked off of Twitter again. So if you like the show, just say hi. Let us know you're listening, because we love to know you're out there.
You can actually leave a comment on our, like, Podbean, like, episode page.
Oh,
cool. Your wife, my mother, left a comment, which was very nice.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Well, I saw it, and I'll show it to you this.
Shout out to my wife.
Shout out to Mom. Thank you for telling Dad off for interrupting me. I love you.
All right. I will not interrupt Evelyn as much.
No, it's fine.
It's our dynamic.
Yes.
All right. Oh. All right. We're going to go. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you for episode 3 on Fillory and Father.